If you were at the sunrise service, you got a little bit of head start on everybody else this morning. If not, the title of this message is, They Got Shook. They Got Shook. I didn't move over here to this side for any kind of reason other than the fact that God said move. I don't know what he was wanting to do with that deal, but maybe where I wouldn't make a hole in the wall. I don't know what he was doing, but I was thinking to myself, Easter. A lot of people come to church on Easter. Y'all don't know most of my story, but back in 1986, we went to church on Easter. Me and my brother, my stepsister, my stepmom, and my daddy. My alcoholic, hole-in-the-wall punching, gun shooting in the house, daddy. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. We didn't have to go to church. But one Sunday morning, my dad, who was the biggest man in my life, said, boys, get up. We're going to church. I was about 13. And the first thought that raced across my mind was, I can't wait to see what happens at church with my dad there. He's going to whoop the pastor. Little did I know, preparation was being made for about 6 months to a year. My stepmom had got saved and began to pray for my dad. She did not pray that my dad would go to church. She prayed that my dad would become a man of God. Not somebody who would attend church, but somebody who would fall in love with Jesus and lead other people to Jesus and her family. She didn't want a man who had to go to church. She wanted a man who wanted to go to church. And I remember that Sunday morning, they were singing and they were worshiping, kind of like this. It was a full house. And I remember me and my brother were sitting in the very back and my dad was sitting about in the middle. And I remember seeing my dad get up and start going to the altar, which I didn't know what an altar was, and I didn't know people went to it. But when I seen him going, I went, it's finally happened. He's going to get him. But he didn't make it. He got to the altar, and God altered him. He began to cry and weep and shout and cry and weep and shout. And God changed my dad. It was almost like Jack Daniels meets John 3:16. It was crazy. And he just radically transformed my dad, who became a full-time ministry to men on death row. And he became a leader to our family, who I wholeheartedly rejected until I got about 30 years old and God arrested my soul too. So every time I come to an Easter Sunday, I don't think of it as a bunch of people who had to come to church one time a year. I think of it this way. Somebody done messed up and came to church. And God still loves you and meets you right where you're at. Are y'all ready? I want to give y'all the message. I'm going to read down to it. But it's kind of in the beginning and around verse 11 we'll start. But I'm going to give you the whole thing and I might give you a point or two in between if y'all don't mind. It doesn't matter if you mind or not. You're already here. Sorry. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Have you ever, since you've been saved, wondered how God puts two people together who can be automatic, total spectrum opposites. Mary Magdalene, who when we first find her, she has seven devils in her. Okay, she's walking with Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was a virgin all the way up until the day that she was about to get married. Mary and Mary, after 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, are walking to the tomb to wash the body and take care of the body of Christ that they believe is still in the tomb. They're walking hand in hand. They're walking with a purpose down to the tomb. Two people who could not be two different kinds of people. God, I wish y'all could get on board with me. There's been times in ministry I've got to ride down the road with some awesome men of God. And I'm riding down the road with them, and they'll say stuff like this. I remember when I was 6 years old, and I was in that little church, and God shook me and brought me to the altar, and they repented, and I gave my high heart and life to God, and the worst thing I'd ever done was got mad at my mom and maybe said a curse word or smoked some rabbit tobacco or something like that, and they look over at me and go, "You know what I mean, Kevin? You know what I mean?" Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, brother. Remember when you'd say just a word that was off color, just one off color word? Yeah, I know. I kind of get what you mean, brother. When did you get saved? It was when I was 30. And I was a liar and a thief and a drug addict, an adulterer. And I don't know if I said any good words up before that. If I did, they were forgotten by all the bad words that I'd said and all the bad actions that I had. Whew. But ain't it amazing how God can put two people together? Here comes Mary Magdalene, and here comes Mary, the mother of Jesus, down to the tomb to just take care of Jesus. God, how much God can change two people. Goodness gracious, they're on the way down to the tomb to wash Jesus. But the crazy thing about it is Jesus is not there. And guess what? Everybody leaves. But guess what? Mary Magdalene don't. Mary Magdalene, the one who had seven devils, didn't birth Jesus. Wasn't really a good person before Jesus met her. But praise God, when the chips were down and nobody else was there, guess who was still sitting at the tomb and had nowhere to go? Guys, I want to tell you something about Jesus this morning. I got nowhere else to go. Some of y'all said, "Yeah, you've just sold out to Christ. You've just traded all your drugs, all your lying, all your adultery, all that stuff. All you did was trade all that for Jesus." Guilty. Guilty. You just been brainwashed. Yes. Yes. God took my brain out and scrubbed it with his blood and placed it back in. And he's still washing some spots that just, they're tough, tough stains to get out. Amen? Guilty. Some of you say, "You're brainwashed." I say some of y'all have got so open of brain and open of mind that your brain has fell out. Sorry. Some people come to me all the time and say, "You got to have an open mind." I said, "Yours is so open. You might want to put that back in there." And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And its countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for the fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I want y'all to see this, man. God came down and robbed the grave. We just sang about it, but here it is in the scripture. Guess what? All of a sudden, God shook the whole earth to open up one tomb. Listen, okay, let me say it this way. Everything you're afraid of, God sits on. Everything that you're sitting there going, "Oh God, I hope this don't happen. God says, even if it does happen, I've got power over it. Man, everything that was going on in the grave that morning, when he dispatched that angel from heaven, God in heaven said, "Go down there. I need you to sit on the tomb because I'm about to vacate that place. I'm about to leave it, and I need to leave a messenger there to tell everybody what just happened." God, I wish y'all would get that. And he came down so fast and so hard that it shook everything. He landed on that tomb, and the tomb was, and he sits down. Man, y'all, your Bible ain't as cool as my Bible is. The angels, like lightning. Sitting. Morning. You see, do you see those soldiers? Big, strong, tough guys who they sit out on a watch before anybody comes in here, you destroy them. You keep them out of that tomb. That's your job. Man, they got one look at one angel from heaven and went, oh, and fell over as a dead man. They got shook by heaven. Their foundation got shook. Their manhood got shook. Their spirit got shook. Amen. Everything into their core got shook, and they fell down, and like we're all going to do one day, they all fell. Every man, woman, and child in this room, you are going to fall on your face before God, and you will call Him Savior either before you get kicked out of heaven into hell or, praise God, as you enter into heaven. Some of y'all just got messed up, so we're going to heaven? No, you'll get on the judgment seat right on the outskirts. Amen. That's where the judgment seat of Christ is. And if you are His, He will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. At a different judgment, the great white throne judgment, He will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And He will cast you out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of y'all don't like this on Easter, but I want y'all to get a firm definition of that weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth does not mean that you're going to be biting and upset and mad. Listen, this is the true definition of that. That means your teeth come down so hard against each other that you will probably grind them to powder because you are so afraid of what's happening to you and to your soul. These two soldiers were standing there guarding the tomb, and God sent one messenger down to let everybody know He's not here. He was here, but He's not here anymore. Amen. I hope we have HD in heaven. I hope we just get to watch the whole scene. I want to see those guys. I want to see their spears and shields and helmets and the whole. I want to see them just laying over there in a pile with them two boys just piled up on each other. I hope they fell together. Sorry, just my mindset. What's this right here? And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which it was crucified, was past tense. He is not here, for He is risen. And he said, come see the place where they lied. He was here. He's not here. He was on the cross. He was in the tomb. And there is nothing that speaks louder than those two places right there. An empty cross, an empty tomb speak louder than any message there is on the face of this planet. Every time I see it, everybody looks at the cross and says, man, that's good. I hate the crosses that have Jesus still on it because He ain't on it. He went on it, died for your sins, and was off of it. And then that tomb, I love the tomb, and I love the fact that Jesus was in there, but I love the fact that they can't even take you to the right location until this day. If you go on a tour of Israel, they're going to take you to about two or three different sites that could be the burial place of Jesus. You know why? Because He got up and walked out, and nobody knows. I love that. I love that Joseph of Arimathea, man, he was the wisest man in the Bible. He was like an undercover Christian right up until the very end. And he said, hey, Jesus, I got a place for you to be buried. You can be buried up amongst the rich people. He said, I want to loan it to you. I could hear his wife and his kids right at the end of the deal. After he said, Jesus, you can use my tomb. He got home. I thought that was our plot. We're going to be married up there next to the Joneses and the Toms and the Ledfords, all them. They're going to be buried right up there. Well, where are we going to be buried? Oh, don't worry, honey. I don't think I've met him. I met Jesus. I just don't think that thing's going to be able to hold Him. Have you ever seen somebody strong? Have you ever seen somebody powerful? And you look and say, I just don't think that's ever going to be able to hold Him. I see some people who are going to sit in certain kinds of lawn chairs, and I think to myself, yeah, you got it. I don't think that's going to hold them. Amen. I think somebody finally looked at Jesus and looked at the tomb and said, I just don't think that's going to be able to hold Him. Joseph Arimathea was the first one. I'm going to lend Him my tomb because I'm going to get it back. Praise God. I hope there's a little residue left over. Amen? Sure, I hope y'all get that. I hope there's a little residue left over. He is not here, man. He is. Come and see where they laid Him. Verse 7. Go quickly. Y'all ready? I'm recapping a little bit. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. And what was the message? He's not here. Go and tell everybody. Have y'all been saved? All right, go tell somebody. Amen. If you've been born again and you're on your way to heaven, tell somebody else. Have you found that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord and you believe that He's risen again? Tell somebody. Just tell them. It ain't that hard. Why do you love me? Why are you doing this? Why are you praying for me? Why are you sharing your lunch with me? Because I love you and Jesus loved me first. Amen? Go tell. And you know what they said? Watch this, verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring His disciples word. Not only did they get the word, they took off. Go quickly, they went quickly. Phew, glory to God. I wish the church would do that. We've had the same message for 2,000 years and we went 10 feet with it. We need to go somewhere with this gospel. Some of y'all wonder why you have the problems you have in church, in life, in family, in school, in job. It's because God has given you a calling in your life and you won't do it and you're miserable because of that. Get busy serving God and your whole life will change. You will find joy you didn't know have, peace you didn't know you had, man, a love that you did not know you had. Praise God. And if you aren't careful, woo, if you are not careful and you get to serving God, He might take you out of that job or out of that school or out of that life that you're so miserable in and put you into something you never thought you would possibly get. Because somebody asked me one time, you believe you got saved? I said, I believe I got saved. My wife, she said, she goes, what does this mean? Do you think we're going to go to church and stuff? No, I don't think so, babe. We're not going to get too radical in this thing. I've been in full-time ministry for the last 17, 18 years of my life. We got radical in it. You know why? Because I fell in love with one who fell in love with me. I started pursuing the one who pursued me. That one that apprehended, David said, I'm trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. If you ever truly get saved, this is what's going to happen. God's going to come up and say, tag, you're it. And you're going to say, okay, boss, I'm going to try to get you. You got me, I'm going to try to get you. You started trying to get a hold of him that got a hold of you. That's all I've ever been doing. That's all David said. David was a man after God's own heart. God just touched him, and the rest of David's life was spent trying to chase God down. I want to get a hold of that thing that got a hold of me. So what's wrong with most of you? Y'all don't want to get a hold of God because you're afraid of what he's going to do. You're afraid of what he's going to do. He might make your makeup run. He might mess your hair up. He might mess up your reputation. You might be the most popular person in the world, and you might go to the most hated person in the world for his sake. Some of y'all might be going as the person everybody wants to do business with until you get Jesus, and everybody might want to stop. Amen? But then you might be doing the kingdom business and not your own. Whew, never mind. I'm sorry. Some of y'all just came for an Easter service. You're getting the whole thing. Brother, why couldn't you just break us off something simple? I ain't even got to the message yet, I hate to tell you. Some of y'all didn't know. And go quickly and tell his disciples. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher to fear the great joy and did run to bring the disciples word. In verse 9, and when they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, or which is rejoice. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. You know what? I found this out in ministry. You're not going to see Jesus until you operate in the commandment which Jesus has called you to do. He's not going to show up until you get obedient. You start talking about how you love Jesus, but you never get obedient. You'll ask forgiveness, but you won't ever be obedient. See, listen, they said go, they went, and on their way, Jesus met them. I hate to tell you, that's God. God will say go, and he won't give you any further instructions, and he will meet you 20 steps in to go. God, I wish some of y'all to let. If anybody in here desires to do anything from God, you're going to have to start going instead of telling everybody you're going to go. I'm going to go. I'm one of these. I'm thinking. I'm praying. I'm about. Praise God. Get going, and Jesus will meet you about 10 or 15 steps in, and then he'll give you the next order. God, I wish y'all would get that. They went to that tomb to mourn and grieve Jesus. Then all of a sudden, God turned them around with a word. And as they turned with the word and began to run in the opposite direction of fear and pain and grief, they met rejoice. Some of y'all are wondering how you're going to get out of your pain, your fear, your anxiety, your hurt. Turn and run towards Jesus, and all of a sudden, he'll be meeting you there with a sign that says, rejoice. You ran in the right direction. Man, we could have altar call right now. I'm being honest with you. Some of y'all are miserable because you've never started running in the right direction. You've got Jesus. You just keep walking in the wrong direction. You've got Jesus. You just ain't going nowhere. You got Jesus, but you just don't see the world as your field that you got to work in. I can hear some people saying, Kevin, get to the message, please. Verse 10 then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, good God. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall be they that see me. He said, go. I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Are y'all ready to get in the message? Some of y'all are like, oh, no. I'll keep it quick from here on out, I promise. Everybody in this room either has, will have, or it's going to have an earth-shaking experience with Jesus. You've probably already had it, but if you haven't had it, you're going to have it. And it's all about what you do with it. And I'm going to show you what two men did with it. And they did absolutely the wrong thing with it. Amen? And they're not much different than anybody else sitting in this room. I promise I'll go fast right here. But not so fast that you can't get saved. Now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. The guards that got shook, you know. See, the guards seen the angel come down. They seen the tomb empty. They got so fearful of what happened, they began to tremble. And then they couldn't handle the presence. They couldn't handle the presence of God, so they fell over as a dead man. They seen it all. And they had a story. They had a story. You know what they did? They came into Jerusalem, where a bunch of hypocrites were, and they started telling their God story. We were out there guarding the tomb. Now, see, these are Roman soldiers. They don't have any religion whatsoever. They don't have any kind of faith whatsoever. All they're doing is telling the bare bones truth about what happened. We were standing out there at the tomb, and we got shook. Next thing you know, this guy comes down and rolls that stone away and then sat on it, and we seen him, and it had to be God, and we fell over as dead men. That was God, right? I mean, we didn't mess up, right? I mean, we were just out there, and something bigger than us came along and knocked us down. I'm trying to tell you this. God's bigger than you, and when he comes around, he's going to knock you down. My suggestion to you is stay down, and while you're down there, repent and ask him to be the Lord of your life, and then let him get you up. Then let him pick you up whenever he gets ready to. Amen? If you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you, or he'll lift you up in due time. So if he's ever knocked you down, or if he ever does, some of y'all are prideful, some of y'all are young, he's going to knock you down. Some of y'all are going to try to get up real quick and act like you didn't get knocked down, probably like some of these. But your God story is going to be, that had to be God. The only unforgivable sin in the Bible is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that is? You know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is? Some of y'all are shaking your head like you know it. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not taking God's name in vain. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is this: when God comes and draws on your heart, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and tries to give the increase, which is salvation from God, and you reject it, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know what God has to do past that point right there? Nothing. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. One shares their testimony, one shares the gospel, then the Holy Spirit comes along, and all of a sudden he starts stirring your heart and tries to draw you. He shakes you. He shook your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not a preacher. That's not your mama. That's not your daddy. That's not them down there at the church. That's God Almighty working on a soul. And he says, come. And if you don't come, he don't have to deal with you again. He probably will, but he doesn't have to. And these old boys got shook. Roman soldiers don't come into town talking about God. They don't come into town talking about how they got knocked down by the Holy Spirit of God and couldn't defend themselves and couldn't defend what they were trying to guard. Man, I could preach a whole message about that, Donnie, right here about this, is I couldn't defend what I was trying to defend anymore. My defenses were tore down. God, is there any men in here who've ever had your defenses tore down? Had everything you were trying to defend just ripped to shreds. Them guys were out there. And they come into town. They're just telling a God story so big. Y'all ain't going to believe this. We were out there next to the body of Jesus. Next thing you know, hey, it was a whole lot of shaking going on. Some of y'all going to leave this church this morning. Hey, it was a whole lot of shaking going on. Next thing you know, something shot out of the sky. Next thing you know, we looked in the tomb and that thing we was guarding was gone. And I don't know what happened. I don't know which one of us went out first. But next thing you know, I'm flat on my back. I'm flat on my face. I can't do anything. All my training out the window. All I thought I would do in this case went out the window. Oh my God, what are we going to do with this Jesus? What are we supposed to do? This will sound familiar to some of you. And when they were assembled to the elders and a large council, they gave them they gave large money unto the soldiers. Are y'all going to sell out? I hate to tell you this, it ain't going to just be money, but some of y'all going to sell out on Jesus. Here's what it sounds like. The devil's going to overpromise and underdeliver. He's going to try to replace Jesus. That experience you had where you got shook, he's going to try to give you the high that you want, the girl that you want, the drugs you want, the car you want, the clothes you want, that position you want, anything that you want that you think's going to make that need. They just showed up and said, here's a bunch of money. Soldiers take that and they're like, all right, that's pretty good. They're still thinking about how they got shook. Money can't buy shook. Money can't buy experience with God. It can't. But it sure is tempting. They weren't saved. They were just shook. Some of y'all are not saved. You've just been shook. They gave them a large sum of money. Verse 13, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while ye slept. Change the story about Jesus and make it about somebody else and you. Is that fair? That's what we do anyway, isn't it? We just make the story about us. Just change the story a little bit and just put yourself in the story. I know in this case it would have been bad. But just say the disciples came and you fell asleep. Can you push that story down? Because we don't need that kind of radical around here. You know what's wrong with the church today and most people that believe? We've taken our story and we've buried it. We got the only hope for this world and we've buried it. We've got the healing for this world, the world, the salvation for this world, the peace for this world, and we got it buried in earthen vessels, hiding it away. And we'll talk about everything else under the sun, but we won't talk about Jesus. Change your story. Here's some money. Will you change your story? Please don't talk about Jesus here. Don't get radical. Will you talk about sports? Will you talk about politics? Will you talk about fishing and hunting? Or can you talk about anything else? Please don't talk about Jesus. Change your story. Make it about you and them. Because it's easy to talk about you and them. So they've got their money and they've got their story. You've got the money. You've got whatever it is the devil promised you and you got your story now. You don't have your God story anymore. You just got a story about you. In verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. These are the same people who tried to keep Jesus on the cross and Jesus in the tomb and hired them to guard it. They're going to take care of you. Some people are going to promise you, if you'll just quieten down about God and you'll just change your story, they'll take care of you. And don't worry, you'll be all right. They might take care of you for a little while, but I hate to tell you, time's ticking. Time's ticking. When you get older and closer to heaven, there's going to be something missing. And those same people they said that are going to take care of you and make you feel safe about it, you're going to be sitting there. I guarantee these soldiers, when they got older and closer to death, you know what they were thinking? Remember that morning? God, I wish I could take y'all. Do you remember that morning? God, I wish I could go back to that morning when that stone rolled away and when that earth shook and when it seemed like God came down. I wish when we ran into town and told that story Instead of selling out, changing the story, and taking the safe way out, I wish we had just kept on telling the story. I wish we had just totally surrendered to what happened. Instead, you know what happened? Same thing's going to happen in our country, in our world. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. There's going to be a lot of people die lost and on their way to hell because some good men who got shook by God, because some good women who got shook by God, sold out, changed the story, and lived a real safe life. But people died, and people died lost. What I'm hoping is we would get shook. I'm praying for God to shake this church. Shake us so hard that we have people repenting in their cars, in the altar, on their way to their home, at their job, and they start coming in here and they start telling the God story, and they're saying, there ain't no money that I'd sell it for, there ain't nobody I'd change the story for, and there's not a safest place to live, there's not a safe way to live. If you have Jesus, the place is the safest is in His calling. I hate to tell some of y'all this, but the safest life you'll ever live is to get all the way inside the will of God, and you can be in the most dangerous place and you're in the safest place. The most dangerous life to live right now is a life that says, I'll gain the whole world and yet lose my soul. Get everything this world says that you need and lose your soul. There's men, there's women, there's teenagers, there's 20-year-olds, there's young people sitting in this very room right here. You're selling out to the devil. You're changing your story. And you're trying to live some kind of life that you think everybody else is trying to live. I'm going to tell you the craziest, best life you've ever lived in your life is one for Jesus. It's the most wildest, radical. It's the only thing left today. If you want to be totally different, live for Jesus. Everybody will look at you and go, that person right there is wild and all alone out there walking for Jesus. Let's stand as they come get a song. Have you been shook before? Did you shake it off? Did you bury the story? Have you tried to live a safe life, one that's acceptable to everybody in America or around the world, but not acceptable to God? Go ahead, sis. What would it